Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back, everyone, to a new episode of Pay Attention, Please, Hollywood Life's Real Housewives podcast. I'm Chris Rogers.
And I'm Eric Tedisco.
And we have a really great episode for you this week. We just interviewed Jersey OG Caroline Manzo, which I
am super favorite. Yes.
I went nuts in that. Not nuts. Okay, I didn't go nuts. But leading up to it, I was very, very excited. It's been a while since I've spoken to her intimately like this. I know, Eric, you talked to her at BravoCon a little bit.
Yeah, but briefly.
Mm-hmm. But we got a good like 20-30 minute chat with her. She talked about Jacqueline and Teresa's reunion, her reaction to that, whether she talked to Jacqueline afterwards. She talked about Dina not going to Teresa's wedding. She talked about Jersey Housewives, the newbies, the Danielle, how she's connected to her. And
she shared some interesting, which we want you guys to, you know, listen to hear, but some interesting tidbit about the rumors that Melissa Gorga had said she was too old or whatever the exact to come back to the show. She offered some interesting insight into that. Overall, Caroline was such a joy to interview. As soon as we got off, I said to you, I was like, oh, that was one of my favorites that we've talked to. And for those that are big Caroline fans, as Chris and I both are, she has a cooking show that's about to start next week on YouTube and a cooking book that'll come out not until the end of next year, but there's a lot going on that she has coming up, so it's exciting. But she was a pleasure to chat with.
Yeah, and obviously things coming up for her include Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip Season 4. We have no idea when that's coming out. Obviously, there's a huge, huge scandal. So we were asked not to speak about it. There's an investigation going on to find out what really happened between her and Brandi Glanville and why they left early and stuff like that. So we had to respect that. We weren't allowed to ask about it. But outside of that, she was a pleasure to speak with. But right before we were chatting with her, there was actually a new report that came out pertaining to the incident. It was earlier this week, actually. Brandi's lawyer is asking for the studio behind Girls Trip to release the alleged harassment audio.
They want the proof.
Yeah, they think that the audio from that moment of filming will exonerate Brandi because they claim she is innocent and did not. The claims out there are that Brandi kissed and touched Caroline inappropriately. Brandi released some sort of statement a few weeks ago. It was a short statement, but I think she said, "I am innocent. I'll be proven."
Yeah, she's basically denied. She said. Yeah, that's basically two stories. And now her lawyers are getting involved and basically saying to the production company above Peacock, like, show us the proof. Show us what you got. Because obviously Brandi's reputation and all the rumors and stuff are taking a hit. Mm-hmm. So I guess now the ball is in the studio's court of if they're going to, you know, show the proof. I think there's probably a lot of dealings behind the scenes going on right now that we don't even remotely aware of that aren't being broadcast in the press. So again, obviously we couldn't ask Caroline about this whatsoever. So I think that there's a lot going on behind the scenes with this and probably more is going to come out, but that is the latest development that Brandi's lawyers are now involved and it could get ugly.
It could. Yeah, and we'll have to see what else unfolds from that. Caroline has not yet publicly commented on the incident.
No.
She's respecting the investigation. She wants it to, go through the appropriate steps and whatnot. So eventually we'll find out what she said. But outside of that, she was a pleasure to speak with. And, you'll get the interview at the end of this episode.
Yeah. Big news, switching gears, is too, there's a big new development. Well, I wouldn't say big. It's just basically we got word from Jen Shah. It sounds like she's been journaling in prison, if I have that right. And I guess she relayed this info back to Sharif, her husband, and they were able to publish it on her Instagram. Obviously, Sharif or some type of Shah person is running her Instagram while she's in jail for 6 years or 6.5 years, however long it is. And it was a very, I honestly implore everyone to read it. Of course, Jen Shah is, I mean, a criminal. Like, she did what she did and now she's paying the price for it. But it is very, reading it is a little bit chilling. I don't know if you had the same reaction just to see her dialogue of how she explained it. And she basically said that she rolled up to the prison and basically had an anxiety attack. And she was with her son, Omar, and her husband. Her other son, Sharif Jr., it sounds like was not with them physically. I think that the prison is in Texas, if I have that right. I think it's in Texas.
I
could be wrong, but I mean, a prison's a prison, so whatever. But her other son, Sharif Jr., was not there. They were FaceTiming him, and she really details the feelings that she had and the emotions as they pulled up to the prison. And, you know, end quote, my worst fear and the unimaginable is about to happen, having to say goodbye to my sweet husband and precious baby, Omar. She was not allowed to take certain personal belongings into the prison, I think, which included her contact list. And I guess she said she had immediate fear because she couldn't remember certain people's numbers. I don't know if that's maybe ends up being given to her later or she has no access to that whatsoever. But it was a very chilling thing that she detailed. And she basically ends it with kind of saying, like, I thought I could handle this and I can't, and I want to get out of here. Well, you should have thought of that before you broke the law, Jen Shah. Hello. I mean, with all due respect, like, as a human being, do I feel sympathy for this woman that is about to be shipped off or is sitting in a jail cell as we speak, but not seeing her husband? Now her husband has to step up and with the kids. I mean, her family's life is currently in ruins. Her actions got them to this point, of course. And, you know, when you break the law, you break the law. That's how the legal system works in our country. But it's just, I think she says her entire body went numb. It's just a very chilling, eerie, detailed thing that we got from her, because she's presented such a strong front about all of this. She was going out, when was she going out partying at dinner in the city after she was sentenced? It's like
a sentence that she threw like an Italian dinner,
right? Which I'm sure was lovely, but now that you're pulling up to the jail, now you're a little afraid. Well, you know, of course you are. So I just thought
the reality hit her in that moment. You know, I like you said, I sympathize. You know, I would hate for this to happen to anyone, but at the end of the day, yes, she committed a crime. She got the punishment that, you know, a judge felt she was appropriate. And now she's serving time. You know, it's funny because outside of like how I feel about like her message and stuff, I'm not shocked that she's like releasing this stuff. I had a feeling that when she went into prison, she would try to keep her like,
remember that website that turned into
she started that website.
What was that?
I feel like she would try to maintain her level of fame from behind bars in some way.
And we'll be getting these for the next 6 years, 100%. Yes, we'll be getting these for the next 6 years. And we won't be talking about them for the next 6 years, just to clarify everyone. We're just doing it because it's recent news, but after that, you know. But it's, you know, again, she broke the law. It is, you know, she's paying the price for it, but I can only imagine what her family is going through. And as a human, I think you and I both feel the same, and so many people do. That's where I feel some type of way, is that what her husband and her sons are going through, because this is every single day she's gone now. So I'm sure more updates will come.
The next topic we want to talk about is Beverly Hills is in the midst of filming.
Season
13. They are down without Rinna. So as far as we've seen, it's just the six ladies from last season without Rinna. Still no sight of Kathy Hilton or any possible newbies. But the girls are going on their first cast trip.
Vegas.
That's what I was gonna say. It was Vegas, right?
And I thought they were at Magic Mike. Looks like they're having the time of their lives.
Is this like the second video or party we've seen where they're like have a stripper, right?
Yes. And you know what? First cast trip to Vegas with this group, I feel like they need that, because this group is a very awkward, like, bad blood. Like, I feel like they need to like all relax, like watch a bunch of male strippers in front of them. Like, I feel like this group is a little, not even a little, very fractured. And I feel like it's kind of a hodgepodge group of six people. Yeah. And I feel like this is kind of the best way to like rip the bandaid off and get this season going. We haven't heard much about as far as any drama or what like conversations have been sparked. It just, we kind of know what they've been up to physically in terms of where they're going. not a word about Kathy Hilton. I mean, I haven't heard anything in the longest time. I'm really towards, like, I really think it's over. I don't think she's coming.
I don't think she's gonna come back. I think after last season, and if she does, I think it might be maybe something towards the end of this season. It might be like a guest role, like here and there, she'll come on, but she's not going to be like an official friend. But who knows? We'll see. It could be another contract negotiation or something that she's dealing with. I know that happened last year.
Yeah, she missed the first half of the season.
Yeah. And she's also filming Paris Hilton's show. What is it? Love Paris or Love?
Paris and Love. Paris and Love.
But she's filming that. So, you know, that could be in the way a little bit, but we'll see.
I imagine we get a newbie though. I would imagine it's, and sometimes that happens when they start filming, they're kind of testing people out. So we might see people pop up and then they figure out kind of who sticks. So, you know, we'll stay, you know, tuned about that, but I am surprised how much we're seeing of what they've been doing since filming started. I don't really love that. I don't need to go on Instagram and see what they're doing.
I saw someone tweet about that last night, and it's like how I miss the days where, like, we didn't know what would happen until the trailer came out. You know, seeing every cast trip, hearing about every fight. It's almost like we know what to expect when the seasons come out. I wish we saw a little bit less. I mean, of course, I'm excited when I see the photos, like, you know, but I think the seasons themselves would be a lot more rewarding if we didn't see all this stuff beforehand. But what are you going to know?
Yeah, and I think, you know, we have a couple more months until Beverly Hills. So we're kind of going through a cycle now of a couple franchises are ending, some are beginning. I think we have, you know, Orange County on the horizon. Potomac just wrapped up. Part three was an extended episode with, they had to, you know, add in the Robin interview and Watch Happens Live at the end.
Yeah.
That's it for Potomac. I don't really even know how to feel about this season. And I feel like Twitter, and I'm not even saying that negatively or positively, I don't even know where I stand with my feelings on the show right now. And I feel like Twitter is reflective. Like, I don't even know what the overall consensus is about the show right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I almost wonder where they're going to go from here. Obviously, the whole Robin thing is up for debate, like whether she should come back, whether she should be demoted. I mean, Kim's husband Chris is doing, you know, he's on every podcast here and there talking about it and saying that he wants Robin demoted.
I disagree with all due respect, Chris Bassett. I think he was treated like garbage this season. I disagree because everybody in Housewives has kept a secret. You think every single person that's been on the show has told the whole truth about what was going on? I don't think so. So,
you know, what's interesting. I don't know if you follow, he's a past producer of Atlanta. I'm not sure. Carlos King.
Yeah. I don't really watch his stuff, but I see it pop up. Yeah.
I think he said something like he thinks that if Robin was to ever leave the show, he thinks her and Juan would be donezo. He thinks it's like
probably a
convenience. Yeah. So when I read that, I was like, oh yeah, I could see that. But I mean, who knows? I mean, the way she answered Andy's questions in the unseen footage of Watch What Happens Live, I don't know. It was just like,
she was nervous.
And even Andy and
so awkward.
Ebony K. Williams was next to her, and she's just like,
I was cringing through the whole
rolling
thing.
Rolling her eyes, kind of like, oh my god, is Robin really? You know, Andy was like, do you truly believe that Juan did not get physical with this woman? And Robin's like, yeah. And Ebony's like, okay, like, you know, takes a sip of her drink, and is just like, you know, I don't know.
I just don't understand the fire Robin, demote Robin thing. I don't like what she did, but I just feel like even Potomac, what we're talking about right now is the Robin and Juan thing. When you look back at the season, what are you going to remember? The Robin and Juan thing. What are people talking about? The Robin and Juan thing. So why would you eliminate the draw and what people are talking about?
I want to see how it shifts the dynamics moving forward.
Because people are, Candace is pissed. The girls are pissed. Show us that. That's what reality television is. I want to see a cause and effect about things happening. If Robin did this, I want to see what Karen says. I want to see what Wendy says. So I still have hope for Potomac, but I'm good that the season.
It was an all right reunion. It was a fun watch, but nothing monumental.
Yeah.
We just got Miami's reunion this week. What did you think of that?
Miami, I just have so much fun with that show. I just genuinely like watching it. And other people I know that watch it too, I don't feel the same. I don't know. I just really like it. Like, I kind of like, even though some of the women are kind of annoying me, specifically the Alexia side of the couch, Lisa. Like, I don't know, I very much find myself more drawn to the Nicole and Gertie than Julia. But I just think Miami is fun and it's interesting, and all of the women have something going on, and it's very interesting individual storylines. It's an interesting group. I think the cast is perfect. I'm sure that filming is going to start soon. I don't think you need to touch that cast or make any changes. Wow. I mean, I guess if you throw in a newbie, you throw in a newbie. Yeah. The cast is huge, though. I don't even see them doing that. I think it's, don't touch it. Let it be. I think it's perfect. Yeah.
I was actually surprised to hear Lisa say that Lenny had threatened divorce for like 15 years. Like,
there was a lot of interesting tidbits about that marriage.
And that first part. She caught him in the hot tub with his current girlfriend, what, like 2 years before?
I think before season four. I think before the reboot. Yes,
before season four. And that's just insane. It's like all these things are coming out about that still. Mm-hmm. I love that she wore a black dress. She was like, I feel like it's a funeral for my marriage.
Yeah, she seems like she has a good attitude about it. I will say this, great. Especially, should they all,
they all did.
Definitely very, very well dressed, that Miami bunch. Of course, you know, we all support Lisa and it's terrible what Lenny's doing, yada, yada, yada. But I do feel like she was a little bit, not even a little, definitely in denial about this relationship for a while. I mean, her saying this about the hot tub thing, like,
yeah,
I think she wasn't enough with reality of the relationship to that it got to the point of, obviously what Lenny did was terrible, but if things are that bad, it shouldn't be as shocking and as brutal as it is of what he did. If you can know what's going to happen, and she should have understood it based on his actions. And that's kind of where I'm a little confused.
I almost think she was a little codependent with him in a way. Obviously there's a financial aspect to the situation, but also, I mean, even when she goes on trips and she's like, I gotta leave early, I gotta be home, I gotta make sure he's not bringing a girl in the house, I gotta make sure, you know, it's a very codependent feel
relationship.
The vibe I got from it. And even to this day on the reunion, I mean, Andy was like, I forget what he said. He said something like, would you have invited, are you invited Lenny?
They did invite him, and Lisa said she was on board with it. Of course, he said no. Yeah. But
all the girls were like shocked. They're like, why would you even want him here? You know, and she still buys him groceries. Didn't she say that?
Bizarre. I don't even know what she was talking about, but the kids like bananas and she likes peanut butter. I was like, I think that her life has been so intertwined with his. And of course, any marriage is like that. But I think she's always been so much like, I cannot be Lisa Hochstein without Lenny. Like, I think she does not know how to be her own person. I think she's starting to learn, and it seems like she has a new man now, which obviously is very exciting. And I think the show is probably helping her because it's giving her her own thing, and she could get her own story out there. But I think it's still in that mentality of like, how am I living my life on my own path? And he's completely out of it.
Yeah, I
think that's what she's trying to cope with.
I didn't love at the end when Alexia said something. What'd she say? Like, if you were more confident, you wouldn't have let Lenny do all the things he did to you or something.
Yeah. I think they just have they're just two very different people. Like, Alexia doesn't put up with crap, and Lisa will. I mean, Lisa admit in Alexia's defense, like, I she shouldn't have said that, but I think what she's saying kind of tracks, because Lisa was putting up with stuff over the years.
That she should have cut the cord a long time ago.
I think so too, yeah.
But yeah, and then we had a New Jersey episode this week, which I loved. I mean, the girls had a brunch at Jen Fessler's. First it started with Jennifer Aiden invited Melissa out for lunch. Melissa made a joke saying, wow, this is new. Like, we haven't done this in like 5 years.
And they probably never will again.
Yeah, of course, Jennifer had ulterior motives. She wanted to kind of turn Melissa on Margaret, said Margaret's a dangerous friend. And that Margaret once told her ex-friend, this is the ex-friend that is going to spill some, I think, about Melissa. But basically, her and Margaret are no longer friends. So this friend then reached out to Jennifer and told Jennifer that Margaret once told Melissa to leave Joe Gorga and get with a baseball player or something like that.
But that's not exactly what she said.
That's not the context it was said in. Melissa proved that. She said, oh, I already know about that. Margaret was just sticking up for me when me and Joe were having a tough time a season or two ago. And she was like, hey, listen, like, if you're not happy, you could get anyone. You're hot. Like, you're an amazing woman. Like, and that's the context she said it in. But of course, Jennifer was trying to use it as bait to like break up their friendship and stuff like that. So Margaret caught wind of it. There was a huge fight at Jen Fessler's. Jen kicked.
Huge fight. It got a little nasty. And both women were guilty. Margaret and Jennifer were both guilty of getting a little below the belt and a little nasty. It was I felt for Jen Fessler in that moment of like, oh my God, like there's so much vitriol and screaming. Yes. It's like, let them eat their, I don't even know what they were eating, like Southern food, like fried chicken and stuff. Southern. I was like, I wouldn't want somebody interrupting my lunch with that food either. So Jen Fessler, I hear you.
Mm-hmm. But Jen Fessler kicked Jennifer Aiden out of her house, asked her to leave. Yeah. Teresa followed, you know, she's like, I'm not going to leave. I'm going to go back to my six.
I don't know if they did eat. Like, did they even eat? I didn't even see them. I have to watch again and see.
They never get to eat.
I'm like, these girls must be starving because I know. I'm like, well, somebody has to freaking sit down and just enjoy their meal for 5 minutes. But Jersey's heating up. It's not letting me down. I think every episode delivers. There's no notes.
it's getting better and better each week. I mean, we're building up to Teresa's wedding and the fight that'll happen before it and the fallout of Melissa and Teresa and Joe and et cetera, which is
that's a reunion I'm a little scared for.
I'm scared for that.
I almost don't know how that is gonna go, that reunion. Like, that could get nasty.
It's gonna get nasty. I think it's gonna be reminiscent of like season 3, season 4, which is when we were talking to Caroline, she was like, that was like those were really bad seasons for Jersey. Like, those were like
good television,
but like crazy,
so much hate,
drama, feelings, etc. So I think this is actually a good moment to lead into our Caroline interview, because I think everyone needs to hear, you know, what she has to say about all that. Melissa and Joe and Teresa and Jacqueline, and you know,
she gives a definitive answer if she'd come back or not, which I think a lot of people are wondering. And sometimes that answer changes, and now she has an answer post girls trip experience. You guys will hear what she has to say, but it's interesting for sure.
Yep. So stick around and take a listen. This week's episode of Pay Attention, Please, Hollywood Life's Real Housewives podcast just got a whole lot better because we have none other than Jersey OG, Caroline Manzo. Hi, Caroline.
It's crazy after all these years that you guys still remember me, so thank you.
Of course we do. Thank you. I am a huge, huge fan. I've been watching since the beginning. I've been missing you since you left, but still following your journey.
Thank you.
And I know we're here to discuss your cooking show on YouTube. You have a new season of Food, Love, and Chaos with Caroline Manzo. So what can we expect from the new season?
It's just something that is progressing as we're going, because this is something very new to me to have to basically think about what I'm putting out there, produce it. I'm going to use that term very loosely, figuring out all the moving parts that go with it. So I'm having fun and want to hang myself at the same time because it's a lot of work, but it's this season we're gonna have guests on. I had last season I had Stuart O'Keefe. I had them on last season, and I found that I liked having guests because I like the banter back and forth. I work best with a sidekick kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I've got Isaac Mizrahi coming on, and I have a couple of other people that I'm not going to tell you because I haven't solidified the dates yet.
Okay.
But there's going to be fun giveaways. I partner with a lot of really great brands to do kind of not like a contest, just, you know, if you join and you answer this question and I like your answer, whatever, you'll get this beautiful KitchenAid.
$800
blender, or
like that.
Like, I've got some really great partners that I'm working with now and talking to now, and I want to go out, let's say, for like an adventure where it's maybe the Tin Building in Manhattan, in the piers down in Brooklyn, and just see what we could find, just fun stuff with the family, live Sunday dinners where you'll be watching us cooking live and stuff like that. It's going to be a little bit more involved than it was the first time around, because I'm getting braver now, kind of, and I want to have more fun with it. So but basically it's just about cooking and having fun and seeing where we land.
Sounds fun.
It's fun.
What kind of dishes can we expect? Are you switching things up? Are you doing your kind of go-tos?
I'm switching things up because I've got a cookbook coming out. It's called Food and Other Things I Love. It's with Chronicle Publishing, and it's coming out in fall of 24. And this is why Food, Love, and Chaos was born, because I'm saying to myself, all right, I made this cookbook deal. I'm off of television 7 years at this point. By the time, isn't that crazy? 7 years.
It is. 7 years too long.
7 years. And then I get the cookbook deal. That's not coming out till 24. That's 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, nobody's going to care about Caroline Manzo in 9 years.
Yes, they are.
You know? So I said, let me do what I love. And I said, why don't we do a YouTube cooking channel where it's food, it's love, it's talking about stuff, family, things like that, all revolving around food, of course. So the cookbook has over 100 recipes in it that are my recipes, family recipes. Mm-hmm. The YouTube show has none of those recipes in it.
Okay.
So it's a little bit more challenging for me because all the old favorites are in the cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still a lot of things that I cook often that I'm putting in the cookbook, but now I'm kind of venturing off to kind of, okay, what's a fun Asian dish I can make, or what's a fun, yeah, you know, Mexican dish or whatever. So I'm kind of challenging myself a little bit. And mm-hmm. that's why I like having the guests on, because like when Isaac comes on, I'm going to say, what do you want to teach me to cook?
Yeah.
It could be Greek. It could be, you know, Mediterranean of different sorts, whatever. So I'm kind of challenging myself a little bit more with the cooking show.
Yeah. I'm actually surprised that you haven't released a cookbook yet.
Me too.
Is this something that you've been approached by in the past and just said no, or?
You know what's weird? I'm the worst at self-promoting. I'm the worst because people come to me over the years. When I think back mm-hmm. over the years at the offers I've had mm-hmm. turned down mm-hmm. because I was thinking, nobody's going to care. You know, nobody's going to care about me. Who's going to buy this? Who's going to do? And I want to shake myself. Yeah. So I'm at a point in my life where I'm challenging myself and I'm doing things that make me smile. And this cookbook is one of them. And that's why I'm saying, okay, obviously somebody bought it. They want to publish it. So there's a need for it, or desire for it, I should say. And the cooking channel is growing well and it's doing well. So obviously there's something there. So don't be silly, Caroline, and just have a little faith in that people kind of do want to see you cook and kind of do want to hear you. Where before I was never, like when you said the word before, fan, you will never hear that word out of my mouth.
Right.
I always say viewers, because I can't wrap my head around that. I after all these years, I still.
You're still very grounded and very realistic about the whole situation and stuff like that. But like we were at BravoCon and you come out, you get some of the loudest cheers. You have to know a little bit that you're still loved by the viewer.
Stay humble too.
Blew me away.
Yeah.
And I remember I was walking into a meet and greet kind of thing, you know, where they take the pictures.
Yeah.
And I remember walking in and I turned to the, you know, the young girl that was escorting me. And I said, please tell me there's more than 5 people in there. Please tell me that. Cause I'm dying. Like nobody's gonna care. Nobody's gonna run. And she looked at me. She goes, Caroline, we had to stop the line an hour ago.
Wow.
And I'm like, what? She goes, we had to shut down the line an hour ago. And like you said, the screams and everything. Truly, I was just stunned by it all. And I even said to Andy, I cannot believe this. I cannot believe this is happening because you know, out of sight, out of mind to me.
Yeah.
And it really makes me happy, and it really, it brings, I don't want to say the word joy, but it's just like, wow, you know, thanks, God. You know, it's something I still can't wrap my head around. And I'm grateful to everybody. I'm grateful to you guys for even caring. I feel like we live in a world that if you're gone for 10 minutes, you're gone and that's it. And I'm not crazy on social media. I'm a very private person. All you see is food and my granddaughter. So I'm not the one that you don't know where I'm traveling to. You don't know what kind of car I drive. You don't know what I get for Christmas kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm very private. Mm-hmm. So I put out what I want to put out, which some, you know, may consider, I don't know, boring or not, but I guess not. I guess it's working for me. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. You never know what's going to intrigue other people. People love to cook, so that's presentable for them. And then people love you, people love the show. So there's so much to draw people in into the show, into the cookbook. I know you're still pals with Dolores. Can we expect her to pop up on your show? You guys did the celebrity beef, which was so fun.
We had the best time doing it.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because she says to me, I need, what am I going to do with these meatballs? I'm like, this is what you do with the meatballs. This is like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah. And we were kind of helping each other through it out and, you know, through it all. She's a very dear friend for over 30 years. Mm-hmm. I probably will ask Doris, but I am hesitant for obvious reasons to tap into the housewife world because I don't want people to say, But she's calling it the housewife or that's all she's got. You know, mm-hmm. I have more than that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I'm reaching out to other chefs. I'm not a chef. Let me put it out there right now. I'm a mom and a wife that loves to cook. But reaching out to chefs and stuff like that and people mm-hmm. in different genres of entertainment. And of course, you know, if I ask Dolores and a couple of the other ladies that are friends, mm-hmm. it's here, mm-hmm. but it hasn't been on paper yet.
Got it.
I want to wait a little for that.
Yeah.
What about your own family? Will we see like the kids on there or your husband?
Yes. My husband, he's so funny because the other day he made cheeseburgers. And it's like, these are the best cheeseburgers you ever had in your life. And I'm like, okay, great. And then one of the kids, my boys happened to come home for lunch. They were in the area at a meeting and they called and they said, you want to go have lunch? And I said, Dad's making cheeseburgers. So my husband says, I have plenty, tell him to come. So the two boys came and Christopher or something said, this is really good, Dad, you should do this. And he goes, oh, no, we're doing it on YouTube. Like he takes it over. Like, I'm like, I think this is Caroline Manso on the YouTube, but he loves, and he's good. He's the king of junk food. He makes really the best burgers he does and cheesesteak sandwiches and stuff like that. Christopher loves to cook. Lauren was on already. Chris actually did a segment a few weeks ago with his version of a grilled cheese sandwich, which was fun. So to answer your question, yes, you will see the family on there.
Mm-hmm. So you're the better cook than your husband?
No, we are. He's better at, we are better
different
at
categories.
Yes, we are. But the only one in my family that does not cook is Albie.
Okay.
To get the wine and the vodka. So, but
we need that too. So,
yeah. So his girlfriend is a phenomenal cook. So mm-hmm. we have Chelsea for that. But Albie is the only one in the family that doesn't cook. The rest of us are pretty good cooks.
Mm-hmm. Now, Albie and his girlfriend have been together a while, right?
They've been together. Let's see. Marky just turned 6. And I want to say they've been together about 4 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wedding bells?
Maybe. Maybe.
How is being a grandma? It seems like you enjoy that life so much on Instagram, for what we see.
She's the love of my life.
Yeah.
She's my best friend. And I'll say to her, Marky, I call her peanut butter. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, Marky, I love you more than peanut butter. Mm-hmm. And then she'll look at me and she'll go, Didi, I love you more. I says, you love me more? She goes, I love you more. Then she'll say unicorns or sparkles or something like that. But she's an old soul and a little old lady and she loves to bake. Mm-hmm. And she's got such a sense of humor and I could go on and on for hours. And it's funny because you know how it is. People talk about their grandkids and they show you pictures and you're like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
But you don't want to see the pictures. You don't want to hear the stories. You don't care. Now I understand because they truly are. She is the love of my life. You know, what a blessing and what a joy. So, and she's my only one for now. So I might as well spoil her and enjoy her.
Absolutely. Cherish it. It's a special moment in your life.
Without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did want to ask a little bit more about your cookbook coming out. Will that be exclusively like your recipes or be a little bit collaborative with your family members or?
It's exclusively mine with, yes, some old recipes that have been passed down through generations. So what I love about cooking mm-hmm. is the fact that you could take a recipe that your great-grandmother made or your grandmother made and turn it into your own. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of that. And there's, of course, the old Italian favorites that you can't live without. It's a little bit of a mixture of both, yeah.
Yeah.
Does doing your own cookbook now bring up little memories of that infamous Olive Garden comment in somebody else's cookbook that came about once upon a time?
No, you know, I am so far past that now. And it's funny because, and that was one of the things years ago when I was offered to do things like that, mm-hmm. that was foolishly in my brain to say, I don't want to hear it. Mm. I don't want to hear, well, you're doing a cookbook now. Well, if someone reaches out to you and a publishing company, and that's how foolish I was back then to try to eliminate any issues, kind of thing. Foolish no more. Here I am. So, and I'm doing it. I'm having fun and I'm excited about it. And I hope it resonates and I hope people will be excited about it as well.
Yeah, well,
I'm excited about it. I'll definitely be pre-ordering that when that's available.
Yes, fall 24 is a long time though. Why so far?
It is. That's the process.
That's why, yeah.
That's the process because you have to see. Here's the thing, but my recipes, it's like, all right, add some chicken broth, put some salt. I don't have the measurements. Mm-hmm. I don't measure anything. When you're cooking so long, and that's the way I was taught. So I had to take everything and put it into measurements. So that's a process. And I had to have someone help me do it because I'm like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do the part. So I have someone helping me with that. And then once you do it, you have to test the recipes to make sure they taste the same. So it's a process. And then getting a food photographer in and then getting it sent over and getting it. I've learned this through the publishing experience of telling me that this is why it takes so long. So respect the process, put a good product out. So fall 2020, it's a year and a half away. So
we'll be ready.
Not that terrible.
Yeah. I have to ask you because it just recently happened. I imagine you're still close with Jacqueline. Mm-hmm. What was your gut reaction to her and Teresa's reunion?
I'm happy for them. I am. I think Jacqueline, when Jacqueline is hurt, she comes out guns blazing. Mm-hmm. Guns blazing. But I know it comes from a place of hurt. Their friendship was a true friendship. They had a good friendship, and it just got... In those years, it just went awry because it was chaos.
Yeah.
It was absolute, you know, season three, season four was absolute chaos.
It was.
So, you know, that was one of the part, you know, collateral damage. So I'm truly very happy for them both.
Have you talked to her since then and discussed it or just watched from afar? Yeah, Jacqueline, I'm sorry.
I watched from afar. The same thing when Dolores is in the middle of filming.
Yeah.
Stay there.
We'll talk after.
Stay there. You know, I walked away from it so many years ago and I'm happy with the decision I made. And I just don't want to be involved in any mess.
Yeah. It, as a, you know, as a longtime fan, it has been nice to see that reconciliation, that reunion. But it is odd that that's also happening when Jacqueline is kind of outright bashing Melissa and the Gorgas.
Right.
What do you make of that? Because they were close. It seems a little bit flip-floppy.
Not for Jacqueline. You know, Jacqueline has her reasons. Again, haven't talked to her about it.
Right.
But I know that Jacqueline is very methodical in how she thinks and why she does what she does. I know a lot of people had a lot to say at BravoCon when I was talking to Joe and Melissa. You know, all right, cool. Think what you want to think. I'm a big girl with a mind of my own and I make my own decisions. I was very happy to see them. They have never given me cause to have any kind of issue or dislike, you know, dislike them in any way. And they're a lot of fun. So, you know, seeing them and again, I have no issues with them. And I'm not going to question Jacqueline because she comes from a place. There's a reason why she's saying that. Mm-hmm. Don't know what it is. Don't care what it is. Don't want to hear what it is.
Yeah.
But I disagree with her there. I have no issues with the Gorgas.
Got it.
Yeah,
it was nice seeing. I saw photos of you with Joe and Melissa. Jacqueline also was on a podcast. She talked about, I don't know if it's a rumor that like Melissa said something about you don't really belong on Jersey. Like, was that a rumor?
No, she said it. And I remember when she said it, but I don't fault her for it because you have to understand.
To your face?
No, but I heard it. Okay. And even back then, guys, Melissa's what, 42?
Yeah.
I'm 61. I get it. Okay. Back then I was 50, you know, and she was 30.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's from the mind of a 30-year-old kid.
True.
So how can I be mad at that?
Yeah, she was young when she started. She just had a baby.
She was a kid. I'm old enough to be her mother. I get it. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get angry at that. I never will because you have to always kind of figure out where is it coming from. And back then I understood it and now I understand it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she said it. And yeah, I don't care because I get it.
Okay. Are you watching the show at all?
No, I have not watched since I left.
You left?
Yeah.
It's messy and it's crazy.
Is it?
I'm sure maybe you haven't heard, but I mean, obviously the Judais and the Gorgas, there's nothing there now. I mean, in present day, there's no relationship.
Well, that I learned at BravoCon through them. And that too, I understand. You know, I get it. I really do. It's just been, I think everybody's tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're tired of it themselves emotionally and stuff like that. And there comes a time when you just have to rip the Band-Aid off and live with the decision you make on both sides,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. And I get it. And I think the viewers, and correct me if I'm wrong, again, I haven't watched since the day I left, right? I think they're sick of it.
It's been a long time, the same stuff. How many
times are we going to have the same argument over and over? And how many times are we going to try and fix it? And how many times do we have to go back to square one? So, yeah, I think it's time to just rip the Band-Aid off and let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, I almost think it needs a little bit of a shakeup going into next season, especially after what's going to happen. We've heard is a big fight before Teresa's wedding. But is there any chance we can get you back on the show?
I don't think so.
Never?
No, not my jam.
Yeah.
It's not my jam. No, I don't think so.
What about the new...
I was going to ask, I think that's what you're going to ask, Chris. We have a couple of new girls this season, one of whom is Danielle Cabral, who is connected to me somehow. I've known
her for over 20 years, yeah.
Only in Jersey.
Yeah, she is my niece, Candace. Okay. It's my stepsister.
Oh, yeah. Are you guys in touch? Because she is BFFs with Teresa.
yeah, I'm going to keep that to myself.
Okay.
Because it'll be a spoiler kind of thing.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I wish her well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just briefly, because we were just touching on Teresa's wedding, and then we'll kind of end that. But Melissa and Joe didn't go. Dina also didn't go. Anything you can say about what you know about the reason not?
I know nothing about it. Okay. Again, when I turn my back and walk away, I don't. There's no rear view mirror. Yeah. There's no over the shoulder. I don't know anything, and I don't know if they haven't reconciled or I know nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Understandable. Looking back, do you still have like fond memories of it? I know at the end it was kind of messy when you left, you know, amongst the cast.
Right.
Do you ever look
at the way I always my interpretation of it? It was the best of times and it was the worst of times.
Mm-hmm.
I had belly laughs and I have an ocean of tears to go with it. So it changed my life and I have no regrets. My kids, you know, I often say to them, are you sorry we did this?
Mm-hmm.
And the kids are like, no, we had the time of our lives, you know, especially with Manzoat. It was that I miss,
that show was fun.
Yeah. So, you know, no regrets. Mm-hmm. And it's a sprinkling. It's madness is what it is. It's madness. It's a little bit of everything. And I prefer to, think about the good times rather than the bad, because the bad times just make you sad.
Yeah.
Just make you sad because you had a group of women that really loved and enjoyed each other.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's so splintered.
Yeah.
And that's sad.
It is very different today than it was then.
Season 1, 2, 3.
But I think, you know, the new people go in with an agenda to say, okay, what's my moment? What's going to get, you know, what's my table flip moment? And you have to give Teresa credit for that because she revolutionized the whole franchise by doing that.
That was the moment that put the whole franchise on the map, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
That is why our podcast is named after that moment. Pay attention, please.
That's true,
I completely agree. So I think that everybody goes in with the attitude, what's going to be my moment, instead of letting it just naturally happen. You have to understand, we are all picked at one moment, one time or another, because we bring something to the table.
Mm-hmm.
We're outspoken. We're excessive in so many ways. So there's a reason why you were picked. So take that part of your personality and just let it go, instead of trying to think, what can I do? Where's my moment? Because that kind of takes away, because at least for me, it's very transparent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? Not the case for everyone, especially nowadays on the show, though.
Right.
Have you met Dolores's new man, Paulie?
I did. I have several times. He's adorable.
Nice. Yeah. We interviewed her once, and he was in the car with her, and he was cracking us up.
He's obsessed with her, you know, and he himself is a very big personality. Hmm. You know, when Dolores will call, it's usually on speakerphone. You hear, I kind of like, you know, the way he speaks.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, but he's a lot of fun. He's a sweetheart. Yeah. I'm happy for her because she deserves everything in life that could give her love and happiness. She deserves times 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, we are super excited for your, is it the second season of the YouTube show?
Yeah. So that'll, I think March 15th, it comes out.
On YouTube.
Yeah. And
that comes out every Wednesday, correct?
It should be every Wednesday. It's every week. And then we'll try to sprinkle in a live once a week as well, because I think the people, the viewers like to see the family dynamic talking and stuff like that. And usually it'll hopefully be on a Sunday or something when the kids are around, or Marky or whatever, just to make it fun.
Well, we are excited for that. We're excited for your cookbook. You know, we are still excited to see you on Girls Trip when that airs.
Stay tuned.
And, you know, just to see what you do next. And hopefully I'm still keeping my fingers crossed that you come back to Jersey at some point, even just a cameo. We would love to see you.
You know what? I like they say, you give it up to God. We'll see what happens. Right. I go with the flow, whatever lands in my lap. Listen, how many years ago, what it was, 15 years ago, Jersey landed in my lap out of nowhere. So you never know what's going to land in the lap. We'll see.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Caroline. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
You're adorable, the two of you.
Oh, thank you.
Such a pleasure.
Thank you. We'll chat soon.